With only about 200 full-time employees, DARPA is a fairly tiny agency by federal standards. Still, it's proud of the innovations it's come up with over the years. ARPANET, the forerunner to the internet, comes up often. But the agency's also humble, in a way, about its role in the much broader federal research enterprise. It only gets about 1% of the federal government's R&D funding, and even within DOD, its share is only 4%. Arthi Prabhakar, DARPA's director, says one challenge your agency will have over the next several years is to make those research dollars go further.
We believe we may be at the beginning of a fundamental shift in how our society allocates resources to the business of national security. I'm not talking today about the immediate issues around sequestration. Like everyone else, that has an impact on our agency, on our work, and on our people. It's an across-the-board cut that affects us equally with the rest of the department and other parts of government. But what I'm really talking about here are the fiscal pressures that could shape a different future over the coming years and decades. And if it turns out to be the case that we don't allocate this continuing level of support for national security, as a society, it actually won't change the fact that our job will still be to keep the country as safe and secure as is humanly possible, despite that.
Those anticipated funding constraints are one of three factors DARPA considered as it laid out a new framework for the agency's future last week. Prabhakar says DARPA is also focused on the fact that it needs to develop technologies that are not just cutting edge, but also versatile enough to be relevant in a world where national threats aren't coming from just one country or in one type of environment.
We believe we're going to be in an extended period during which our national security will face a wide range of different types of threats from a wide range of different actors. Nation states are in the mix, but so too are terrorist organizations and criminal organizations and even individuals. And all of these different kinds of actors have the conventional means of waging war or inflicting damage, but now they also have some new tools. Cyber is a very obvious example. Many of these actors also have increasing access to weapons of mass destruction or weapons of mass terror. So the number one major factor that we really pay attention to is this complex, fluid, shifting national security environment that we think we will be facing for an extended period of time.
Thirdly, Prabhakar says DARPA's research efforts going forward have to acknowledge the fact that many of the key technologies that kept the U.S. at the top of the heap for decades are now globalized, commercialized, and open to everyone.
When we consider the technology dimension, here too, the world has changed in some important ways. And already today, our military systems are critically reliant on technologies that in some cases are available to everybody around the world, in some cases are actually not even made anymore in the United States. That's a trend that we expect will continue, and in particular, we think that other nations will continue to grow their capabilities in terms of technology and new research and development. I think that's going to be a fact of life in the world that we're living in.
In its new framework, DARPA accepts as a given that technology and the technology supply chain now operate in a world that is relatively free from borders. So the agency wants to focus its attention on layering those technologies in ways that no one's thought of before, and building systems architectures that potential adversaries can't match. She offered cyber weapons as an example. She says DARPA wants to move the cyber threat to the U.S. military capabilities and critical infrastructure from something that everyone believes is a serious threat to just another national security risk that's seen as manageable.
But beyond that, it's a tool that can be part of our military suite of capabilities. And that portion of the activity, our work on cyber offense, Plan X is a program that is specifically working towards building really the technology infrastructure that would allow cyber offense to move from the world we're in today, where it's a fine handcrafted capability that requires exquisite authorities to do anything with it, that when you launch it into the world, you hope that it's going to do what you think it's going to do, but you don't really know. We need to move from there to a future where cyber is a capability like other weapons capabilities, meaning that a military operator can design and deploy a cyber effect, know what it's going to accomplish, do battle damage assessment, and measure what it has accomplished. And with that, build in the graduated authorities that allow, you know, an appropriate individual to take an appropriate level of action. So that's the vision we've got. There's a lot of hard technology build to get from here to there, but I think that's going to be a huge game changer when we get there.
Among other things, DARPA's got up its sleeve a replacement for GPS technology. The agency led the way in miniaturizing GPS receivers. 30 years ago, they were almost too bulky for one person to carry. Now they're built into every smartphone on the planet and into many military systems, all of which rely on a constellation of satellites orbiting the Earth. That makes GPS subject to radio jamming or to complete irrelevance if the satellites are damaged or destroyed.
Sometimes we create a capability that is so powerful that our reliance on it in itself becomes a vulnerability, and I think that is where we are today with GPS. The work that we've been doing over the last few years at DARPA is to create a next generation of position, navigation, and timing. It will not be a monolithic new solution. It will be a series of technologies to track time and position and to fix time and position from external sources, which, again, layered together, will provide for platforms and I think eventually for individuals a kind of capability that allows us to no longer rely on GPS, but then even more interesting, actually enables a new generation of capabilities when electronically we're able to synchronize at that kind of time scale.
Prabhakar says one of DARPA's most important missions will be to find ways to make U.S. weapon systems inherently cost-effective in a continuously changing threat environment. That means not just trimming down requirements to make individual systems cheaper, but designing systems so that they are inherently adaptable to changing times without starting from scratch.
Thinking about the complexity of the environment that we're going to face, we're thinking about how we can make the systems of the future more readily adaptable so that they can be configured for whatever actual threat emerges in time or can be reconfigured in real time in an engagement so that we can adapt more quickly than adversaries might in a battle environment. We're seeking as well ideas that can invert the cost equation, ways to use innovation not just to nibble at the cost of systems, but really to fundamentally change the cost equation and to inflict much more cost on our adversaries to respond to the solutions that we come up with.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.